We've been working through the Ten Commandments, and we've been today is part seven of the series that we're in about 10 values that build strong families. And again, as we look at the Ten Commandments, I want to remind you that the sequence of these commandments are not haphazard. In other words, they weren't just thrown together when Moses came with them and was given, or when they were given to him when he came down off the mountain from receiving them. They were put together for a very special sequence of the way they should be, and so we've been working through those in the proper order. And of course, as we look at the Ten Commandments, we know that the last six of the commandments really talk about the way that we relate to one another. And the first four commandments talk about how we relate to God himself, but the last six talk about how we relate to one another. And so we want to continue on that. And today I want to share with you a message entitled, Affair Proof Your Marriage. And as I said earlier, today's commandment talks about thou shalt not commit adultery. And so in Exodus chapter 20, verse 14, you find that commandment there. And so it's pretty significant as we look at the seventh commandment that we realize that even though God gives us a negative, I want to remind you that as we go through these Ten Commandments, that with every negative or every commandment that looks negative, there's also a very positive thing that comes out of it. And so some people will look at the Ten Commandments and go, well, he says, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. But he does that because he cares about you and he cares about the way that we live our lives. But with every negative thing, comes a very positive thing comes out of it. And of course, this commandment is no exception. And it has a very positive thing. It tells us when it comes to saying you should not commit adultery. And so so as we look at that, we're going to be looking at that positive aspect behind it. But please know that God has a reason why he gives us these commandments. It's not to cause you pain. It's not to do any of that, but it's for your protection. And God essentially says when we go through the Ten Commandments is that when you play by the rules, you in the end will win. So these rules are designed so that you win in life. And I cannot tell you the number of people's lives that are shipwrecked and destroyed because they did not play by the rules. So I want to encourage you as we go through these to realize that God wants to give you these things so that you can benefit and that you can have a strong, healthy life, marriage, and family overall. So nothing destroys a family faster than adultery. And God says, here's my protection plan. I'm giving you this commandment because I don't want you committing adultery. Even the mere mention, I know, of this word, maybe for some of you, either as from your childhood or maybe even your life today, may cause you pain. Maybe someone was unfaithful to you. Maybe someone did the very thing they should not have done, and that was commit adultery. So just hearing this commandment or hearing this word adultery causes pain and heartache and a lot of sorrow, maybe even some shame. But the purpose of today's message is not to try and resurrect those feelings, but today's purpose and this message is trying to get us back on the rails of what we should be as a nation when it comes to faithfulness within our marriages and within our homes. Regardless of what maybe have done, we know that if we have sinned in this area, if we confess our sins, our God is faithful and just, and he will forgive us of whatever has happened in the past, and he will help us to move forward. And so in God's eyes, if you have done that, then you have forgiveness and it should be forgotten. But yet sometimes we struggle with the whole past of maybe sometimes of what adultery has done within our homes, within our marriages. So where I'm going with this is I don't want to bring up a lot of bad feelings today, but I want you to find liberty. I want you to find freedom through God's forgiveness, but also by living out the rules that he wants you to live by so that you can win. And as we think about passing on to the next generation, and as a grampy, as I think about passing on to my grandchildren, I want to pass on to them not all the mistakes that maybe have been made in the past, but really to encourage them, say, listen, you know, Dax, here are the things that can really help you to be the man you need to be, to build the family that you need to have. And so these values that are taught here within the Ten Commandments are crucial that we once again realize that we must teach them, we must lift them up, and we must try to really help our nation to get back on track with these commandments. As we begin to look at this commandment today, and I'm just going to be kind of candid here today a little bit, because as we look at this commandment about adultery, God has every bit of freedom and liberty to talk about this subject, because God ultimately is the one who invented sex. And can I say that word in church? I'm going to anyway. God is the one who invented sex. And so as he invented it, he wants things to be done in a way that are benefit us. And so he wants us to be able to benefit from sex in a way that does not cause shame. He wants us to benefit from it in a way that does not lead to abuse. And all of God's gifts, like sex, God has given them to us, but he has limitations on them. God has given us the gift of water, and you can't live without water, especially when you have temperatures like this going on. But what happens if you get too much water, or if you get into too much water? You
drown.
You can talk. All right, you're not going to scare me off. You can drown. And so he's given us a gift of water, but too much of it, and you will drown. He's given us the gift of fire, and fire can either warm you or it can burn you. And it's how you handle it. And it's the same thing when we begin to talk about sexual issues and how sex is meant to be used. And so God wants to use sex as a tool for building strong, healthy relationships, and in particular, strong, healthy marriages. And he doesn't want to destroy it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Husbands and wives, be faithful to each other. God will judge those who are immoral and commit adultery." Did you know it's easier to get married than it is to stay married? It is. It's easier to get married than it is to stay married. It takes a lot of work. In today's world, where there's so much permissive values being sort of floated around and basically anything goes, including in our entertainment organization that just seems to be obsessed with sex. And as a matter of fact, even today, sex is used to sell everything from cars to bananas. I mean, it just, you know, sex is used for all that. But in the midst of all of this, how do we as believers today remain pure? How do we establish guidelines for our lives that help us to build strong homes? Reader's Digest did a study a little while back and said that 50% of all husbands and probably 35% of all wives have committed adultery. It's just a staggering statistic as you begin to think about it. But for those of us who may think that because we're in the church, we're a little bit different, you know that the numbers really aren't that much different. Something's happening within our nation, within the Christian circles, that we need to get back on the rails about what it means to be faithful within the marriage and realizing this commandment needs to be taken seriously. So today, let me give you very quickly, so if you just kind of grab the chair in front of you, get some white knuckles going. I want to give you six things very quickly about how you can prevent from committing adultery, how you can affair-proof your marriage today. And so let me give you these real quickly. All right? And according to my clock, I still have an hour to go, so I'm good. All right. So number one, I want to remind us to make a commitment to God's standards. Wow. It sounds so simple to say that, but make a commitment to what God wants you to do. It's about turning back and say, where does our moral compass come from? Where does our values come from? It comes from the living God. And we need to get back to really making that the plumb line that we live our lives by. And so I want to encourage you, first of all, make a commitment to God's standards. Regardless of your past, regardless of your failures, maybe even today, regardless of wherever you may be, decide today that you're going to live according to his standards. That means that you're going to agree with what God has to say to you about sex. I know as we look at the whole subject of adultery in our culture today, there's all kinds of other sexual issues that are just being pushed and advanced forward with very militant agendas. But when we come up against those things, we need to ask ourselves, what does the living God want us to do and to be about when it comes to dealing with sexual issues? God's standards must never, never be changed. whether all the world be against us, we must be for what God has to say to us. The Bible says that sex is designed for marriage and for marriage only. Not before marriage, not outside of marriage, but for marriage only. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a person keep his way pure? The answer is, by living according to culture today? No, that's not the answer. You keep yourself pure by living according to His Word. God's standard is His Word. Adultery, the Lord teaches us, is never an option. Under no circumstances is it ever okay to commit adultery. But people have said to me over the years, but Pastor, you don't know the home I'm in. You don't know the lady I marry. You don't know that man that I marry. He's such a scoundrel. I mean, I've got needs, you know. I've got to go and find and answer those needs. And a culture will say, yeah, you're right. You deserve to be happy. So abandon that relationship and go find it someplace else. But God says, no, under no circumstances is it ever okay to commit adultery. As a matter of fact, I think of Joseph in the Old Testament. He was seduced by Potiphar's wife. When I began to look at that story, I realized he had every reason in the world to give into that temptation. He could have said, you know, Lord, I am young, you know, and we young people, obviously we can't control ourselves, so I should really give in to Potiphar's wife. He could have said that, according to today's standards. I'm single, you know, and single, we have needs as well. He could have said, you know, here I am in a foreign country, who's going to know if I give in to this seduction by Potiphar's wife? You know, I'm in a foreign country, and in this country, don't you know, everybody's doing it, so it's an acceptable practice. So if everybody's doing it, what's wrong if I do it as well? You know, so Joseph could have had this whole conversation going on with himself about giving into the seduction by Potiphar's wife. He could have said, well, she wants it, and you know, I want to too. Or he could have went on and said, you know, here I am, poor old me, I've been abused. My mother died when I was young. My father was an overindulgent to me. Don't you know my brothers hated me and sold me into slavery? I've got every reason there is, because I came from a terrible family. And from a terrible family, surely you don't expect the same standard from me. And in my family, Joseph could have said I was deprived of love. But did Joseph make any of those excuses? No, he didn't. Joseph, instead, he said, I will not sin against my God. And so the Bible says that when he was tempted, he turned and ran. And in our culture today, especially for those of us in our church, and especially as we look at this commandment, maybe some of us need to do exactly what Joseph did. We need to turn and run as fast as we can towards God and away from the temptation. So make a commitment today that you're going to follow God's standard. Number two, you need to magnify the consequences of what it means if you give into it. Remind yourself of the devastation and the destruction that is caused by sexual sin today. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 32 says, the one who commits adultery is an utter fool, for he destroys his own soul. Pretty strong words. Nothing damages the emotions of a person like sexual sin. Nothing else. There are other sins that don't damage as much, but sexual sin leaves permanent scars. That's why in our world today, when people are so flippant about sexual issues, they don't realize the permanent scars and the damage that sexual issues create and do to people that really are fairly, fairly powerful and significant. The enemy loves it when we misuse the standards of sexual practice that God has outlined for us. So we need to remind ourselves today that that for many of us, we're probably maybe even like the story of Esau, who was hungry in the Old Testament, and it tells us that he sold his birthright, he sold his inheritance for a bowl of porridge. And I know people today who are selling their lives away just for a few moments of sexual pleasure, where really it's a lifetime of damage and scars and hurt that they're incurring. So let's magnify the consequences. And again, I appreciate the struggle that people are in their marriages today. Marriages have become very challenging, and they've always have been. I grew up in a home where, and I'll tell you this story, but in my home, you know, my parents, they struggled with this issue. And I didn't know about it for years and years and years. And of course, back in that day, when my father was unfaithful to my mom, she waited till he came home. And the way they handled it back then is when he came through the door, she whacked him across the head and knocked him out with an old chair. I don't know if you remember the old-fashioned chairs that were really built sturdy. Well, when he came through the door, he found out how sturdy they really were. And so once he woke up, my mom said to him, says, if you ever do that again, you will not get off so lucky. And of course, that was how they handled it back in those days. And see, I didn't know anything about that. That was early on in their marriage, early on in their home. I didn't know anything about it. The only thing my brothers and sisters ever known was mom and dad holding hands, going out on Saturday night dates and loving one another. And they did. But there was that thing that happened within their home, and they learned to deal with it. And the consequences that could have came out of that if they had not forgiven one another and pressed on through it all. And so we need to realize the consequences. And you may say, well, God wants me to be happy, Pastor. He wants me to have all of that. Yes, he does want you to be happy. That's why he gave you this commandment. That's why he gave you this commandment. He knows better than you do. He knows better than I do. Adultery is ultimately one of the most selfish things you could ever do. It's not about love. It's selfishness. That's what it's about. It says, I'm going to put my needs and what I want and what my rights are and what my pleasures are above everything else. I got to be honest with you today, as we celebrate Canada Day, I'm worried about Canada. If they begin to teach drug education today in our schools, the way they teach sex education, we actually were going to be handing out needles, showing kids how to shoot up right in the classroom. You know, we're just headed down a road that is, where is it going to end? And it's not an upward thing, it's a downward spiral. And so we as a church have a responsibility to say, this is what the Lord says. This is what the standard is. This is what the plumb line is. Number three, not only do we need to magnify the consequences and the damage, but you need to maintain your marriage. And to maintain your marriage and to have a growing relationship with your spouse, if you can do that, it will help reduce the pull and the attraction of what sometimes comes into the marriage, such as adultery. And so I don't have time this morning to talk to you about how you need to know the needs of your spouse, and women, you need to know the needs of your husband, and husbands, you need to know the needs of your spouse. It's just incredible. Getting to know one another, it takes a lot of work. And so, but it is interesting that Dr. Willard Harley discovered that men come into a marriage thinking that for some strange reason, they married someone that's just like them. And so they try to meet the needs of their new spouse the same way that their needs are met. And they get frustrated because they say, well, what's wrong with her? Why isn't she responding to these needs? I took her to, car races or something. Why isn't she appreciating of that and so forth? And of course, women, on the other hand, women come into the marriage thinking that they've married someone that's very much like themselves. And so they set about to meet the needs of their spouse in the same way that they like their needs being met, and they get frustrated when it's not appreciated. And so the solution is today, folks, get to know your spouse. Get to know what makes them tick. Get to know their needs and realize they're not going to be like you. They're going to be different. The goal in your marriage is really to have a best friend. And I can say honestly today that Helen and I are the best of friends. Because we're best friends, we want to spend the rest of our lives together. Is it okay I say that, honey? All right, good. But if you want to have a best friend, what does it take? It takes three things. It takes time. Probably a few more things, but I think you get the point. You spend a lot of time with your best friend, and you want it to be that way. You don't want it to end. You don't want it to end. So you need to maintain your marriage. You need to become the best of friends, because when you have a best friend, I don't know about you, when I have a best friend, I don't want to leave them behind. I want to take them with me wherever I go. And your spouse should be that bestest of friend going forward. Number four, you need to manage your mind. This may come as a shock to you, but people don't just fall into immorality. People don't just wake up somewhere and say, you know what? Today's the day. I'm going to commit adultery. I'm going to do it. People don't wake up that way. And so you need to watch your mind, and you need to realize that there is really no such thing as a one-night stand. It's something that's been percolating away for a while. And so when we begin to think about what causes adultery and how do we avoid it, you need to watch what you put into your mind. And if you want to go forward and being strong and healthy in your family and avoiding adultery, you need to realize that when people commit adultery, there's a process they go through. Very quickly, the process is step number one is that they begin to accept sinful thoughts in their mind. There are people today that are playing with fire when they play with all kinds of sexual temptations. They think, oh, well, no one's going to know about it. It's not going to hurt anybody. Wrong. And that's where the process begins. You begin to accept sinful thoughts in your mind. You begin to linger on thoughts that you never thought about or lingered on before. Temptation, according to James chapter 1, verses 14 to 15, temptation is the pull of a person's own evil thoughts and wishes. It begins with your own evil thoughts and your own wishes. And those evil thoughts, number two, lead to emotional, non-physical involvement. And in our world today, our world doesn't normally stop at the emotional level very long. In our world's culture, when two people emotionally begin to connect and they begin to share things with one another, they usually jump right to the physical thing. But did you know that in the church today, a lot of Christians feel it's okay to be emotionally connected to another person other than their spouse, and they think it's all right? And it's not. It's just another step in the process, and it's just a landmine waiting to go off. And so we need to remind ourselves as believers today that if you are having some struggles, don't go and begin to build an intimate relationship, even emotionally or verbally, with someone of the opposite sex. And so we need to be careful of that, because that non-physical involvement is a part of the process that leads to adultery. Step three is the physical involvement. And once you've crossed that line physically, and the pull of the sin becomes horrendous on a person's life. And people say, well, I'm going to break off this relationship. But once they've entered into a sexual relationship, it is extremely difficult to break it off. And there are people today that are, because they haven't put up that physical boundary, that are struggling to get free from it. And they've given into it. They've crossed that line. So the answer is don't cross that line. And that's what the Lord's telling us within His commandment for our protection. And of course, step four in that whole process from James is how we rationalize the affair. Once people begin to let their thoughts be filled with evil things, begin to lust or whatever it may be, once they begin to build that emotional connection, then they build that physical connection, then it's amazing to me that once they've crossed that line, the number of people today who rationalize the affair that is happening. We are great in deceiving ourselves. We are experts in pulling the wool over our very own eyes. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says, "The heart, your heart, my heart, is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You and I probably have become pros in deceiving ourselves. We can convince ourselves that anything is okay given the circumstances. And again, I've shared the story of, in one of our churches, two couples who simply switched partners and still kept coming to church. And she was upset when I removed her from playing the organ remember the organ that used to be in church? Well, we had an organ back then, and she was the organist, and she was upset. But you know what? She didn't know, what did we do wrong? They had sort of crossed that line, rationalized the affair they were having, switched partners, still kept coming to church as everything was okay. And I just shook my head and said, Lord, I don't understand. I hope you do. but that's our world that we live in. So we need to be careful, and we need to manage our minds and guard our minds, because that's where it all begins. Today, pornography is huge, just incredibly huge, and hurting and devastating our families today. Even within the Christian church, the number of men and even women are growing rapidly in their involvement and use of pornography, but particularly men, it just is huge, and how it's really destroying homes. And our young people today are having hard times to hang on to relationships because they expect it to be like the pornographic things that they've experienced. We need to be careful and manage our minds. Number five, maintain proper relationships. And I don't want to say a whole lot here today, but most affairs, I don't know if you knew this or not, most affairs occur between close personal friends. Co-workers or family members is where most affairs happen. And since we obviously have to deal with people every day, how many of you don't see any people from day to day? We all deal with people from day to day. Then if we're going to deal with people from day to day, we need to maintain proper relationships. We need to know how to handle those relationships. Let me just give you a few things real quick. Number one, don't listen to a member of the opposite sex tell you about his or her marriage and their problems. Don't let someone of the opposite sex tell you about his or her marriage problems. Number two, this one is for the ladies, and don't worry, I'll get to the men. Women, don't go fishing for compliments. Don't go looking for them. You may be married to a bum, and you have had your hair done, and you dyed it purple with a slash of pink down the side 2 weeks ago, and he still hasn't noticed. Well, don't go looking for compliments from somebody else about what you've done, because you can begin to build that deep emotional relationship with someone else. Number three, be aware on the sense of electricity, and I'm going to call it that, between you and a member of the opposite sex. Number four, avoid a prolonged stare. And of course, now after church, everyone's going to be going, hey, staring too long, back off, all right? Avoid a lingering touch. And of course, even with our children's training, our plan to protect, or teaching our staff, you know, when you come up alongside a child, you give them a sideways hug, but don't linger too long, you know. And so we're just, in our culture today, we have to build proper relationships. And so I want to encourage you to do that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 says, but among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. And so for that to happen, you need to have a good plan, a good reason. Number six, and this is the last one, is you need to minimize the opportunity. Minimize the opportunity. If you don't want to get stung, my dad used to say, stay away from the bees. Don't place yourself in situations where you very much know in your mind and your heart that if I go into that situation, I'm going to be tempted. So don't place yourself in that opportunity, and you need to minimize it. You need to turn away from those circumstances. You need to move and run from those things that weaken your standards, because you need to be very careful of that. You need to be alert. You need to be aware of those circumstances. So minimize the opportunity. Folks, learn to put on your running shoes and run from sexual things that are rampant around us today. I cannot tell you the number of times that, you know, you think, man, we need to get rid of the internet. We need to get rid of the television. I need to go to a monastery. I need to do all these things. Because it's just around us, and sometimes you're not even looking for it, and it finds you. Because Satan knows that God has given us something beautiful called sex, but he's doing everything he can to pervert it and to destroy it, and so that it's not used appropriately. And then those Christians, they're the killjoys. They're the ones who are out ruining it for everybody in the world. It's just the opposite. We can have great relationships, great marriages, if we learn to follow his principles and precepts that are given to us. Let me say this in closing. If you in your life have ever been involved in adultery, if you've ever been scarred by it, if you've ever been hurt by it, I want you to know today, and hear me when I say this above everything else, we have a God that forgives us, that loves us, and that there is a pathway that you can put yourself on where you can begin to repair and you can begin to refit and retrain yourself, a path where you can begin to hear God recapture your heart in so many different ways. And so there is a pathway back to purity. There is a pathway, but it starts by acknowledging your sin, number one. Number two, in that relationship that you're in, especially if it's immoral, end it today. Don't wait till tomorrow, today. Matter of fact, if I see you run out of church real fast, I know you got a phone call to make, all right? But end it today and avoid all contact with that person at all going forward. Today, as your pastor, I'm trying to be practical with you. I'm trying to help you understand why God put that commandment, that seventh commandment, within his word for us. Because it's not to hurt us, it's not to cause us difficulty, but he loves you, he loves me, he loves our families, and he wants us to have the very best. So my question to you today is, what are you going to do with this knowledge that he gives us within this commandment? I hope that it's your goal today that you will apply it. Let's stand together in closing. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people, and thank you for our church family here at Spotlight. Lord, we're a small church, and we're trying to grow and trying to reach this city for you. And Lord, I cannot pray enough. Holy Spirit, come, help us to do that. Help us to reach out and be responsible for 1/10 of this city. But Lord, as we take on that responsibility, we also take on the responsibility for lifting up your standard. We take on the responsibility of telling people that it's not about being permissive any way you want, but it's about finding permission from God's word for the way we ought to be. So Lord, today, as we endeavor to really be a lighthouse within this community, as we endeavor to be a light in every way within this community, help us, Lord, to realize that it's going to take us living according to your standard and not the standard of our culture and of our day. And so, Father, today, help us to leave this place today with a determination in our hearts to be the kind of people that you would be honored to call your family. And so, Father, today, just speak to us. And if there's someone here today who has been damaged or hurt by adultery and by the things that it has caused, Lord, bring healing. Lord, bring healing to our homes. Bring healing to our hearts. Bring healing to our nation. Lord, let it be so. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and let your presence bring healing this very day. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we lay our lives before you, and we ask that you would go before us. And we thank you and praise you for the great things you give us within your word. In Jesus' name we pray today. Amen. Amen. Let's just close out by just singing another verse or two of King of Heaven, Come Down. That's what we want. King of Heaven, come down.